from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Rick Spielman, former Minnesota Vikings general manager. Would you give Cousins the same contract again if you could wave a wand and go back in time?
Well, you know, when we...
The Rich Eisen Show.
You like that?
Today's guests, MMQB columnist, former Packers executive Andrew Brandt, senior writer for the MMQB, Albert Breer, NFL on Fox analyst Greg Olson, plus from HBO's Winning Time, actor Devon Nixon. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
All right, everybody. Okay. We're ready for a big-time program here on this very busy Thursday on one of the wildest non-football-playing weeks in football. And the NBA heating up. The Los Angeles Lakers are on the brink of who knows what. A new series called Losing Time or Quitting Time or... I don't know, man. It's closing time. There's lots going on. The NCAA tournament, it beckons. Conference tournament action going on. Sons of coaches getting retroactively suspended for throwing elbows or fists or whatever.
Whack.
Lots going on. As we've got only one Boeheim getting ready to take on Duke, I guess. And my alma mater is taking on Indiana. And Juwan Howard returns to the bench. Ah. And brackets are all... getting ready to appear, and I'm just sitting here. I'm rooting for a quad one win, which I'm assuming it beating a team in the NCAA tournament is, or the Big Ten tournament is. I have no idea. It's a quad one win. I just want more quad one action. So lots to keep an eye on as all of these games are going down during our program. Will you do that for me, Chris Brockman? Will you do that?
Yeah, Syracuse Duke is in 8 minutes.
There we go. So there's that.
You got me for 8 minutes.
Okay, no, well, probably have you. No. I probably will get you back 6 minutes in.
You're probably right. This game should not be
first
close
TV
today.
Timeout. Yeah. You're going to be locked in on the Rich Eisen Show.
I'll be back.
I just assume you never know.
Hey,
I mean these matchup zones totally. Confuse people after they didn't during the regular season.
When we're going to lose
the 2-3 zone, suddenly hits March and everyone's like, "What is this thing?" And it's the same thing Syracuse always plays.
We're going to get
wrapped. All right, Butler and Providence going at it. We got all sorts of action. When I see TCU and Texas getting ready to go at it, Michigan, Indiana conference tournament action going down.
Let's go.
And we will not pass up the opportunity to talk about it. Like LeBron passed up that potential flip off the backboard shot.
I mean,
instead, he passed it to Carmelo and they lost to the Houston Rockets in overtime. We'll talk about it. We've got 3 hours.
Hey, Rich, you know, getting back to the Syracuse Duke game,
yeah.
I'm not really big on, you know, locker room bulletin board material, but I'm not going to say that the Duke men's basketball team didn't get a DM with a video of Chris Brockman. Maybe. You know, talking bad about their coach. I'm not going to say they didn't get that before this.
Well, wait a minute.
And the knowledge that he is a Syracuse alum on top of that. I'm not saying that happened. I'm not saying it didn't happen.
I'm going to put what we call a pin in that.
Oh, thank you.
That's fascinating material. I wrote down pin in that.
Pin.
First up here on this program, got to turn to you, Chris, and ask, have any NFL quarterbacks been traded? As at this
quick
moment,
Twitter refresh.
Not yet.
It doesn't seem
okay.
Like
that'll only happen in an hour and 40 minutes because that's happened over the last 2 days of this program. Russell Wilson 2 days ago, Carson Wentz yesterday. So we'll see. That'll be after Albert Breer joins us. Hopefully, it happened before Albert Breer joins us from the MMQB and our first guest from another MMQB guy and Andrew Brandt to tell us the tea leaves from the Aaron Rodgers I'm staying contract and. Jordan Love seeming to be what we call toast in Green Bay. But Andrew giving me a little hint that he might think differently. Can't wait to chat with him.
Ooh.
About 16 minutes time. Suss all this out. The first blush reaction in Denver is still the same blush reaction in Denver We've got Russell Wilson. Holy crap. We've got Russell Wilson coming to Denver. The AFC West, now a very deep end of the pool, maybe deepest end of the National Football League pool now. NFC West, once upon a time now, Russell leaves there. Now he shows up in the AFC West. Pretty damn deep end of the pool when you've got four quarterbacks of that note. And the Broncos were definitely the weakest link, to use the old television phrase. The weakest link in the AFC West with Mahomes and Herbert and Derek Carr for Las Vegas and then Denver. We'll figure out who we're going to get to fill in the blank for John Elway at some point and Peyton Manning for a couple of years. And then they're still spinning their wheels. Aaron Rodgers staying put. Here comes Russell Wilson. They're so excited, they should be. And then you hear across the country on your Twitter feed or your YouTube comments or whatever, and then some others who are, you know, in the NFL media or evaluation, that Russ is getting longer in the tooth. And this is what's fascinating about this trade, because the Broncos and Russ together need to hit the jackpot. Certainly when you put all that draft capital into it, like the Broncos did. Two firsts, two seconds, a fifth, three players, including Drew Lock, Noah Fant, tight end. A lot of draft capital. And part of the journey we're going to see from Russell Wilson and Denver is something to put in your mind's eye about this iteration of the NFL. And by that, I mean the mobile quarterbacks, the ones who can run it and throw it. Because the ones who can run it and throw it throughout the history of the NFL, you got Fran Tarkenton, didn't win a championship. You want to go way back, right? Michael Vick never won a championship, never got to a Super Bowl. Donovan McNabb got to one Super Bowl. Randall Cunningham never got to a Super Bowl. You want to throw Bobby Douglas in there. The number of runners and throwers. And Russ is more of a thrower than a runner in your mind. They're not going to run it with him all the time. And that's why you hear, like, he doesn't have the same wheels. And somebody of Russell's abilities, just ask anybody about his deep ball throwing ability. He's got it. He's terrific at it. Remember, he once ended a playoff game with it. Ask Green Bay. He can throw the deep ball. He can run it. And the question is, how much mileage is on that odometer? How many hits has this guy taken? Even though, as you know, he's one of the wisest with his body. He's the king of sliding. He's the king of somehow getting out of bounds while reaching the ball for the first down marker. But how will Russell Wilson's career end game in his mid-30s and into his late-30s play out? That's going to play out for the Denver Broncos. One would think he will sign there after a couple of years, unless the wheels that are supposedly worn out with some more less treaded tires completely fall off. I don't see that one coming. I see the Broncos putting all this capital in him and it working out well enough that he's going to stay there. It's fascinating to me how this is going to play out, because this might be something to look forward to seeing about Lamar Jackson's career and Kyler Murray's career, even though those guys run more than Russ did. I'm just talking about mobile quarterbacks, not traditional pocket passing quarterbacks. Aaron Rodgers being an outlier. He could still move. He could still motor. I can't wait to see that playing out. And so I can't sit here and say Denver won the trade. And I can't sit here and say Seattle won the trade, like so many have already said. We even had a skeptic in Bomani Jones yesterday saying he finds it difficult to see how he continues to play at an elite level for a long time to come, saying that about Russell Wilson. And then in terms about how this trade is won, also, and I know a lot of folks, certainly out there at home, want an answer now. Kind of like a Few Good Men. I want answers. And the truth that maybe people can't handle is you got to see who the draft choices turn into. Once again, if you put up the trade chart of this Wilson trade, that's a lot of draft capital that Seattle's getting. Mm-hmm. Do they flip it for another quarterback? Doubtful. I think they got some more holes to go. But if, say, Deshaun Watson's grand jury comes back with a no bill tomorrow or before the new league year, or and everything else gets settled satisfactorily or in a satisfactory manner, can they now have the draft capital be in that game? Sure they do. Sure they do. But I guess beware in a way about a trade being won because somebody got all these draft choices and they can actually now win football games because you got to see who they turn into. Perfect example about needing to see what these draft choices turn into and also what a team does with the quarterback they acquire, coughing up all these picks. Interestingly enough, you could take a look at somebody else who's been in the news who just got traded just on Wednesday, Carson Wentz.
Hey.
Take a look at the draft choices that have been coughed up to either draft or acquire Carson Wentz since Carson Wentz came off of the campus at North Dakota State. Radio audience, what you see on the screen are 9 draft choices.
Wow.
9 draft choices that have now been coughed up by 3 different teams. And the teams you see on the screen also having acquired those draft choices. 5 by the Browns, 2 by the Eagles, and now 2 by the Colts. In all, 3 firsts, 2 seconds, 3 thirds, and 1/4 round draft choice have been given up to either draft or acquire a guy who has never played in a Super Bowl and had 1/3 of an MVP season before his reckless abandon play left him needing surgery because he decided to go headfirst into an end zone with Aaron Donald coming in on him. And what have the teams who have acquired those draft choices gotten? The Browns, we thought, hey, what a smart deal for Cleveland. They needed all of these picks. I guess Hugh Jackson wasn't too terribly into Wentz. Cleveland wasn't terribly into Wentz. They made these draft choices into what? Well, not to bore you with too much of the details, but the Browns used the picks on players. They also traded picks away. And eventually traded some of the players that they got with those picks for others. How is it right now? Right now, for the Cleveland Browns entering 2022, 6 years after this trade, because how many people are like, wait 5 years to see who wins, right?
Right.
So we're now at this. So we can even flash back to 5 years from the trade. Last year, the Browns had only 3 players on their roster from the trade. 3. Jordan Elliott, defensive tackle. Cornerback Denzel Ward at the very top of the draft, and Odell, who now is gone. They got eventually Jabril Peppers with picks, and then they sent him to the Giants.
Right.
Now Odell's gone. They got just 2 guys on their team right now. And how many championships did they win? They won 1 playoff game. One of the picks that they got, a first rounder that they got in the 2017 draft, they traded it away to Houston. You know who Houston chose with it?
I saw this.
Deshaun Watson.
Yep.
The Colts, what did the Eagles do with the picks they got from the Colts for once? Well, the third rounder that they got last year, They flipped in a trade to Dallas to go up a couple spots in the first round and take Devontae Smith.
He's good.
So that third rounder for the moment, we'll see how Philly does with the first rounder that they get in this year's draft, because Wentz's performance last year pushed the two up to a one. And now we'll see what happens when the Colts eventually get on the clock with the draft choices they get from the Washington Commanders. So take it all in. Seattle, you're on the clock. What are you going to do with those picks? And then Philadelphia, you used all those picks. They still won a Super Bowl, though. But the backup to Wentz, at least Philly got a Super Bowl out of it. They got three quarters of a season that was a stellar play by Wentz. Would have been the MVP if he finished the season that year, because the Eagles used the one seed from Wentz's performance and leadership that year to eventually get to the Super Bowl and with Foles shock the world. What do the Colts get? No playoffs. 1 year. Lost a first. They're going to lose a third. And we'll find out who they're going to go get. Quarterback carousel spinning. With the Colts now needing one. And then the Washington Commanders. What are you going to do with Wentz? What's Denver going to do with Russ? And what's Seattle going to do with the picks? Just to set the table for you using today's headlines a la Law and Order and yesterday's headlines. Ripping it straight to try and give you some perspective on this trade. So, summing it all up, Russ, what's he going to do in Denver? And how will that affect anybody looking at a stellar young quarterback who runs, uses his legs and his arm, makes the playoffs more often than not, wins in the playoffs when he makes the playoffs more often than not, then hits his mid-30s? What's he going to look like? Do you want to be all in on that guy? Do you want to spend all this draft capital on that guy? And then does the draft capital matter? Look at Les Snead and look at anybody else that wins a championship by coughing up all them picks. Can Denver be that? Or will Seattle, with these picks, do something with it and get players that'll still be on their team 5 years from now, unlike the Cleveland Browns? These are all the questions.
Just threw this poll up, Rich.
Better I thought you said quarterbacks.
Nobody yet. Better chance to make the playoffs. Better chance to make the playoffs this year with their new quarterback, Broncos Commanders.
Attaboy.
Come on, that's easy.
I think you're going to lose that poll 90-10.
I think people should think twice. AFC is stacked. They may not even make it out of the division. Just saying.
I just think people so down on Wentz, too. And that's one of the things I can't wait to ask Albert Breer in hour number two is, what did happen in Indianapolis where we're going to give this guy a shot? We know him. I know him, says Frank Reich. He knows us. They look terrific. And then poof. Now, reportedly, Wentz tried to get a meeting with Jim Irsay after the season, and Jim's like, yeah, no thanks.
Oh, really?
Yeah. How did it deteriorate so damn fast? Don't forget, was that the week 15 Saturday? Colts beat the Patriots? And it's like three games to go, and they're definitely in the playoffs and definitely a team you don't want to face. Then they don't make it. Face plant. But when we come back, by the way, in hour number three, Greg Olson of Fox Sports, he's got a new podcast network that... called Audiorama. The other two people who are forming it, Ryan Khalil and Vince Vaughn. And then we've got a Devon Nixon in studio. He happens to be one of the stars of the new HBO show Winning Time about the Showtime Lakers. And he plays his dad, Norm Nixon. This is going to be fun. He's in hour number three.
Love it.
Albert Breer, hour two. But coming up next, this man knows everything about what the Packers think about and everything about transitioning from one quarterback to the next. And he thought that for sure, come heck or high water, it would be Jordan Love's starting season in 2022. He also predicted that Rodgers would come back to the Packers in 2021. His name is Andrew Brandt, returning to the Rich Eisen Show. Don't miss this conversation. That's next. But before we go, Mercedes-Benz wants to talk about your dream. Through me, I am the dream talker. And I also would love for you to check out the Mercedes-Benz Sprinter, because you could live the van life in a totally customized Mercedes-Benz Sprinter. Some premium, primo van life on four wheels, because it's a Mercedes-Benz van we're talking about. Innovative safety features like crosswind assist and blind spot assist and MBUX voice command system. You can expect amazing performance and reliability, a five-star dealer network, and an available gas engine. It runs like, well, a dream. So I say it's time you and your dream get back together. So what do you say? Head to the Mercedes-Benz van dealership and get that Sprinter. Tell them your dream sent you. Andrew Brandt with his unique take on the Rodgers deal and whether Love will be on the move soon. Next. Hey, folks, it's time for the NFL draft, which means for me, I need a good night's sleep, because if I don't have one, I'm just not myself. You know the deal. You know exactly how important it is to have quality sleep. It's a game changer for all of us. So Sleep Number helps me. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's setting is 70. We both get a great night's sleep because we could adjust the firmness of our mattress on each side. Improve your quality sleep, because Sleep Number learns how you sleep thanks to their smart beds and provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Our house is a mess. Come on in.
I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show. 844-204-RICH. Your phone number is the phone number. We'll take your phone calls before this hour is up. He is one of the men certainly most in the know about the way the Packers organization works. And as soon as Aaron Rodgers, it was announced this four-year, $200 million contract extension was announced. I thought, what does he think of it? He is back here on the Rich Eisen Show from the MMQB and the Business of Sports podcast. He is Andrew Brandt. How you doing, Andrew?
Doing well, Rich. I always say this. The offseason in the NFL is much more, I don't know, interesting, intriguing, active than the season. So here we go.
Well, I know. This week has been a whirlwind, and that's why I guess they call it a quarterback carousel. Let's start first with the decision that Aaron Rodgers made and the contract that he said really wasn't in front of him, but is in front of him, and he hasn't signed. I mean, everything's still up in the air, but except for the fact that he's decided to stay. And, you know, you and I have been talking about this subject for 2 years now.
Yes.
And are you surprised at how this has resolved, where Jordan Love may never see the field again, and it's Rodgers from here all the way through to whenever he's done?
Yeah, Rich, a lot to unpack. I mean, we did talk about this for 2 years. We were right, or I was right. Last year, they would come back when there was a lot of dissension and there was a lot of angst and drama. And he did come back. And then this year, I thought there was time for a change, that they would transition to Love after a two-year apprenticeship for Jordan Love, not a three-year apprenticeship, which Aaron Rodgers had 17 years ago. But he's back. And now comes the question of the contract, which I think will help us determine is if, like you said, they're moving, they really don't see a future for Jordan Love, or they do. This could very well be, Rich, just like Aaron and Brett, a three-year apprenticeship. They're running it back this year. They got Adams on a tag. They're going forward with their cap deficiencies, and they'll see what's next after that. And they move to Jordan Love next year. But we heard talk, as you said, about a four-year contract and all these big numbers. I am saying this. I do not for one second believe this is a four-year commitment to Aaron Rodgers or from Aaron Rodgers. And I do believe the Packers are not giving up on Jordan Love. So what does that mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Wait, hold on a second. All right, you had me at this hello. So you okay? Keep going, going, Andrew. Yeah,
keep going. I know because I started this 20-something years ago. The Packers do not guarantee more than the first year of the contract, and they have held that through even Aaron Rodgers' last contract. So this idea of $150 million guaranteed, well, maybe, but it's not going to be real guarantee. The real guarantee is going to be some huge signing bonus this year, which will be prorated for a number of years to dummy out the cap. And for people who don't know, you take the signing bonus and prorate it on the existing number of years. You get a cap number way down, which they need. He'll have a low salary. Now, maybe there's guarantees, quote-unquote, if he's on the team next year that trigger another, whatever, 40, 50 million, maybe even more in 2024. But what I'm pointing out is if there are future guarantees, number one, they're probably only if Rodgers is on the team. And number two, they can move to another team if he's traded next year. So let's get this out of the way first. The fact that they're making a huge guarantee to Aaron Rodgers doesn't commit him to the team more than this year. Number two, here's where I want to really know about the business of Aaron Rodgers. Last year when he came back, we heard from everyone, NFL Network, ESPN, everybody, that what he got, besides bringing in Randall Cobb, was a void, an opt-out, after 2022. I thought maybe they'd give it to him after 2021, but it was after 2022. That is extremely valuable. That's Tom Brady leaving New England. That's creating an opportunity for him to be the most valuable free agent in NFL history and have, pick a number, 10, 12, 15 teams bidding on him in a year. My question is, did the Packers get that out of the contract? Or is it still in the contract? Because if they got it out, wow. Like, wow. And then $50 million a year is a bargain. If they got that out, or maybe everyone was wrong, that was never in the deal. But that is extraordinarily valuable, and if it's still in the contract, then it's a one-year deal, right? Then it's Aaron Rodgers having an out next year, just like Brady had in New England, and we'll see what happens then. So there's the start to the unpacking.
Oh, my goodness! Unpacking? That's like dropping a whole airport's worth of luggage on top of this thing. So hold on a second. You're saying we're maybe not done with talking about Rodgers and the Packers being done? Is that what you're saying? That this is just a way to window dress up and salary cap massage, running it back one more time? Is that what you're saying?
A couple things, Rich. Am I the only one? Did you not hear this in August? That Aaron came back, he imports, the conditions were importing his buddy, Randall Cobb, having some soft language about we'll reassess after 2021, and a void, an opt-out after 2022. Now, if I'm Aaron Rodgers or his lawyers or his agent or his friends, or how in the world are you going to give that up, that extraordinary valuable contract property, if that was important to you before? And you know what just happened, Rich? He took 2 months to decide to come back to a place he'd been for 17 years. You think that's the end of that? You think that come the end of 2022, he'll just say, yeah, I'm good again? I don't know. I mean, it's hard for me to believe that we're good for multiple years here. And then the other part is Jordan Love, and people can say, well, who cares about Jordan Love? Well, I think the Packers care about Jordan Love. You know, I've talked about this with you before. Aaron Rodgers fell in our lap. We didn't want to take a quarterback, but he was there. Jordan Love was aggressively and affirmatively traded up for by the team. It's this guy didn't fall in their lap. They went and got him. They want him to play. The question is when, so I don't know. Is it going to be 3 years like Aaron? Is it going to be 4 years? Is it going to be never? I would bet against never, that's for sure.
So, Andrew Brandt here on the Rich Eisen Show. Yeah. Hoskins, pop up Rogers' tweet. So Rogers sent this tweet out amidst all of the hoopla and reporting that happened the other day. And he wrote, "Hey, everyone, just want to clear some things up. Yes, I will be playing with the Packers next year. However, reports about me signing a contract are inaccurate, as are the supposed terms of the contract I, quote unquote, signed. I'm very excited to be back." And then he's got the, you know, bicep emoji. And then this now, based on your opinion, now catches my eye. He just put hashtag year 18 with a heart.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's what he basically put, just year 18. I thought to myself, okay, because I'm making this out to think this is it. He's now locked in. He's retiring as a Packer. He's got this contract as a Packer. He finishes. He's the Tom Brady as the Packer. I call him. He's the Tom Brady of the team. That they're going to commit to him after turning 37 to multiple years to see if he can do what Tom Brady did. They believe in him. And you're saying that this is just essentially, you know, completing whatever was discussed last year to just run it back this year. Is again, I know I'm keep on revisiting this, but when do we see the contract terms? New league year hits next Wednesday. We'll all see the proof in this pudding right now.
It's got to be before that. Now, here's what the contract's going to look like from a cap point of view. They're going to have a huge bonus and loads of salary, whatever the minimum is. Say his minimum's $1 million. Say he gets, pick a number, $70 million bonus. So you can add 5 years or add 4 years to the existing year. So you make it like a 5 year, whatever it is, and you prorate the $70 million over five, that's 12. Add $1 million in salary, that's 13. You bring it down from, he's at 30 something now, so you get $18 million of cap and they're on their way. But you're pushing out a lot of pain, especially if he's not there. Let's just bring this all back to the contract, this whole discussion. We will see this at some point. Does it have the out? Where's the guarantee level after 2022? That will guide us on the future. But even taking that aside, Rich, I mean, you followed this as much as anyone. Do you really think whatever went on in Aaron's mind for 2 months since losing to the 49ers is not going to be back at the end of this year, whether it's trade, retirement, whatever his thoughts have been? That's hard to believe.
I was going to follow up, Andrew, to say, what do you think Jordan Love's market is? So your thought is zero, that, you know, they're not going to touch him. He's going to stay there unless what? Somebody gives a YOLO deal to Gutekunst, because there are now teams that are trading a 2 and a 3 for Wentz. Trubisky may hit it. The quarterback market is less than. What do you think? Here.
Well, I'm looking at it from the team point of view. Number one, as I said, they traded up to get him. It would have to, if he, you know, a thought of trading him, it'd have to be a first, because you trade up and you trade multiple picks to get up and get him. Why would you give him up for a second? And number two is he's cheap. They've got the most expensive starting quarterback in the league. Of course, you want a cheap backup. And I just think, I know the Packers, and maybe they've changed, but Brian Gutekunst is a Ted Thompson disciple. First-round picks are just precious gold inventory for them. I don't think they give up on them.
I'm doing it. This is, Brockman, are you feeling the same way as me right now?
Yeah, I'm just kind of like, okay.
Well, listen, so, I'm seeing it from my knowledge and experience of the Packers. I don't see this. I mean, listen, Rich, what's going on in the NFL this week is all these guys that signed huge deals 1 or 2 years ago are going to get cut, right? We just saw Landon Collins and, you know, none of these deals are real. You know, if Aaron signs a 4-year deal, do people really think that's 4 years? I mean, none of these deals go the length that they're still.
No, and I know that, but I just would think that the back-to-back MVPs, right, the back-to-back MVPs moved the Packers in a direction of essentially saying, we get it, Aaron. you're not having any diminishing returns. You are, you know, clearly in shape. You're talking about your cleansing and all that business.
Yeah.
And that we get it. You're a unicorn. You're not going to be like Big Ben or even Breeze, diminishing returns when you approach 40 or hit 40. We're in, you know, we're in, and we're in to make you a Packer for life. And you're coming out and saying, I thought Rodgers after everything would be like, yeah, got it. And you're now saying they're just running it back for a year. And trust me, as somebody in this position, I'm all in on having this Rodgers back to the Packers conversation all year long and next offseason too. But I thought we were done with it. I'll be honest with you.
Until I see more about the contract, until I hear that the void that he negotiated for 2023 to get out and be a free agent
right.
is out, it's hard for me to believe different. And you combine that with Love. I mean, if they go to Love next year, it will be the exact same apprenticeship time that we had for Aaron, 3 years. So maybe, you know, in me predicting they'd go after 2 years, I was jumping the gun, but they were so excited to trade up and get Jordan Love. But you just pointed it out. Maybe they didn't expect 2 years of MVP play. And they said, we can't leave this behind. Let's go after it again. But yes, I am not seeing this as a long-term deal.
So what does this mean for Devontae Adams? He just has to play on the tag and run it back with everybody else. I'm sure he wants a long-term deal. I'm sure he's not terrible. Although I'm sure he's thrilled that he gets to play with Aaron Rodgers. He can't be terribly thrilled that he's going to go out on a football field as things currently stand right now. Or is there with just 1 year guaranteed, despite it being a very nice number? But what's the plan there, do you think, with Adams?
Well, that, again, this is going to be very telling. If they aggressively negotiate a long-term deal for Adams, then I think, okay, maybe Rodgers can be around for a while. But if they're content, which it just seems that they've been, because they know the number to get Adams done, you know, whatever the top, you know, whatever DeAndre Hopkins got last year or whatever, they know the number, and they've put him on a tag to just hold him. Now, if they're just holding him on the tag and Rodgers has this out, then we're in the last dance. That's where we are. But if they sign Rodgers long, if the Rodgers doesn't have the out, if Adams has a long-term deal, that changes my thinking.
All right, before I let you go, what did you think of the big trade between Denver and Seattle? Quality compensation? You like the compensation? What do you think about the future of that?
One of those where you got I hate people hate saying this, hearing this, because you know you have two ones and two twos, and to judge them, it's going to take 5 years. I'll say the different angle on this real quick, Rich.
Sure.
The ownership angle. Seattle, Paul Allen died. Jody Allen, not that involved. Two alpha males up there with John Schneider and Pete Carroll. They're running the team, and you wonder if an owner more involved would have resisted a little more about trading Russell Wilson. And the other ownership angle, of course,
yes,
is the Broncos, who will be the most valuable sale in the history of the NFL. And what do buyers want? They want certainty at the most important position. They don't want to buy into picks or Drew Lock. Now they're buying Russell Wilson. And, oh, boy, does that help the purchase price as well. So that'll go crazy, that franchise value.
Yeah, that's what I was saying, is that the Broncos were more valuable yesterday than they were the day before. You know,
absolutely, yeah.
How about that? Andrew, thanks for the time. Greatly appreciate your insight, as always. Let's chat next week when all the dust settles. I'd love to chat with you again.
We'll do it, Rich. Always a pleasure.
With all that food for thought. At Andrew Brandt on Twitter. I follow him. You should as well, right here on The Rich Eisen Show. The fine print. Got to read the contract.
Unbelievable, man.
Got to read the contract. Because... is it possible that the Packers are just running it back for one more year with Adams and Rodgers and the way things are going? They know the credit card bill's coming at some point. They don't usually run it things like this, but they're just going to run it back one more time. Rodgers is up for running it back one more time. He's getting paid a ton of money. He likes it there for one more time. And then he can walk. That this four-year contract extension is just to get the cap room for this year to run it back one more time. And then he's going to walk, maybe. Then he could go wherever he wants. Or he's got a four-year contract extension in place to just keep going.
Like, depending on how next
year. Is that what just happened?
I don't know.
And if it's just what happened, I feel like, what a dumbass. I mean...
That I
see a four-year contract for $200 million and I think this is, you know, he's there forever. He's going to retire there. And then you see his tweet and all he's talking about is year 18.
That tweet was very telling.
Yeah.
It was very telling. Yeah.
Like, you know, that's all he's talking about is year 18 when I first saw it, but I was on the air when we were talking about it and I didn't really have much time to think about it because we were all busy talking about Russell Wilson being a Bronco now. And then... signing the reports about me signing a contract are inaccurate. Then you stuck on the signing stuff. I still don't understand that one. But obviously, the details would be different if he's just thinking, I'm on a one-year deal. This four-year contract extension buys the cap room to keep Devontae. That could be it, too. Which means Rodgers watch all year long again.
Yeah, TJ.
Man, here we go.
Great. You know, I think...
And then one year from now, that's all we're talking about.
I think one of the most telling things about that tweet, guys, is if you're signing a contract that's going to take you over the next 4 or 5 years, you'd say, happy to be a Packer for the rest of my career.
That's it.
He said next year, comma.
Year 18.
Well, before the year 18, he didn't say for the next 4 years or for the rest of my career or forever or for life like the NWO. No, he said next year.
So you've got and Andrew Brandt has the insight. He knows the way things are going.
Andrew Brandt's so smart.
Way too smart.
And the only way to know for sure to back up Andrew Brandt's thoughts until we get a contract right now is right here, Magic 8-Ball. Which one is it? Is it just the Packers running it back one more year? Is it that? Is it? Yeah, is
what did 8-Ball say?
And it says, signs point to yes.
Oh, boy.
Magic what more do you need to know?
That's
Rich
it.
Eisen Show. We're on it.
Rich, we got... Rodgers just doing one more year, and then we're going to do this again next year. Syracuse is beating Duke. Jeff Passan is hacked. I got no idea what's happening today.
I don't want to clap about that.
No, that's fine.
What is going on?
Let's take a break. 844-204-RICH. Number to dial right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Don't go anywhere. We'll take your calls when we come back.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a
likelihood. So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Ruben in California, first in, first up. We're back here on the Rich Eisen Show with your phone call. What's up, Ruben?
Hey, Rich. And so you stated, I think it was the day before, to check up on your Seahawks fans, see where they're at.
Yeah.
I live like 15 minutes away from where Bobby Wagner played ball at Colony High School in Ontario, California. So I saw Russ being traded. I saw that happening. Bobby being cut. Devastated me. He's a local boy. I mean, I'm about as much pain as a sports fan can be, Rich.
Well, do you want the Rich Eisen Show bro hug treatment? Is that what you're calling in for? Just be honest. Just come through the straight front, right through the front door and say that's what you're looking for. I'm here for you.
Actually, I kind of wanted to call in to share my little pet theory about what's really going on in Seattle right now.
Okay.
I think there's a power vacuum going on, and it's happened ever since the late owner and Microsoft co-founder Paul Allen passed away in, I believe, 2018. Jody Allen assumed ownership, and she's been about as uninvolved as an owner can be, to add to what Andrew Brandt said earlier. And from what I've heard and observed, Pete Carroll is the de facto leader. And you can point to how the team has regressed and also to those cockamamie trades like that Jamal Adams trade that has benefited your Jets in particular.
Yeah.
That stunk.
Yeah, I know so, that, but let me just jump in here. First things first, you know, I don't usually get rebuffed on offering the Rich Eisen Show bro hug. So do you want it or you don't?
Well, I mean, I'll take it.
Okay, here we go. All right, well, so here we go. Coming around, tap, tap, and then that's it, you know. But the other thing,
sorry,
no, it's all good. Don't worry. You're in pain, and I appreciate you. And I'm sorry to say that, you know, that it happened. Thank you for the call. I got to just say this about the whole Paul Allen, Jody Allen angle. I'm not locked in completely on it. I'm just not. What do you think? Paul Allen would have been like, you can't trade that for Jamal Adams.
Right.
You know, or
I would assume that he just trusts Pete and John.
Here's the story that backs it up. And again, he might have become more involved since this moment. And I'll just say this. You know what Matt Hasselbeck told me once? Hmm. He was in an elevator at the Super Bowl they were in Super Bowl 40 in Detroit. Paul Allen got on the elevator and didn't know it was Matt Hasselbeck in the elevator with him. And he saw him.
No way.
Yes.
No, that's insane.
Oh, yes. Come on. Really?
That's...
I'm sorry, Matthew, if I just put something out there you didn't want out there. But that's just... Yeah. He had to... He basically was on the elevator. The owner of the Seahawks in Detroit. And he's in Detroit because this quarterback was playing lights out. And
hey, Mr. Allen.
Mike Brown will know that's Joe Burrow on the elevator, right? Stan Kroenke will know that it's
100%.
Bob Kraft knows it's Brady on the elevator. I mean, hey, Tom, you know, can you hit penthouse for me? Hit the top floor. So I'm not all in on that whole thing in Seattle.